Out on the water, the storm's raging high. The waters around them were troubled that night. And fear filled their hearts, and they felt they would die. But they failed to remember that the Master was nigh. And he spoke the words, and the winds all stood still. Even the waters, they obeyed his will. He calmed their storms, just like he will mine. If I just remember that he lives deep inside, so why should I worry? Why should I fear when that very same Jesus, he stays always near? He lives in my heart and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. Brought light to their darkness when the way grew so dim. How great it would be to have his steps leading mine, and to walk with the Master all of the time. So when trials come and death is so nigh, I'll just call on the Master. He said he'll be there on time. When I'm in trouble and my body is in pain, all I have to do is call on his name. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? When that very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. We read in the Bible how he walked with them. He brought light to their darkness when the way grew so dim. How great it would be to have his steps leading mine, and just to walk with the Master all of the time. So when trials come and death is so nigh, I'll just call on the Master. He said he'll be there on time. When I'm in trouble and my body is in pain, all I have to do is call on his name. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? When that very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll just call on his name till the storm passes by. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? When that very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll just call on his name till the storm passes by. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll just call on his name till the storm passes by.
Amen. You thankful that he can calm your storm this morning? God bless you. Let's stand.
My Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Kings. Messiah is the Lord of hosts. Oh, my Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, he's the King of Kings. Oh, he's the Lord of Lords. Our Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, my Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Yes, our Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, my Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Oh, our Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, my Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Is the Lord of Lords. Oh, our Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. You feel that way? He's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, our Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Yes, our Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, he's the King of Kings. Yes, Lord. Oh, he's the Lord of Lords. Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Amen. Is that how you feel this morning? King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's sing this together this morning. Amen. I had this song on my heart for a while with everything that we're facing, and somebody texted me the other day, said, you ought to sing that. So, praise the Lord. We're going to try this morning. You help me if you know it. Oh, the old house that I'm living in is needing repair. Oh, the windows and the shutters, well, they're letting in cold, cold air. And I say to myself, I'm gonna fix them when I can find the time. Oh, but all I'm getting lately, Lord, is leaving on my mind. Oh, just worship him wherever you are this morning. Oh, lately all I've got is leaving on my mind. Yes, Lord. Oh, it seems that's all I'm thinking about. Oh, so much of the time, now that soon and very soon I'll
side. I really should be looking for a better place to live, but I can't seem to get excited about this whole world, all it has to give. Well, I couldn't care less if I could buy it all with a solitary dime. For what good would this whole world do me with the rapture on my mind? Oh, and lately all I've got is leaving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Father. Oh, it seems that's all I'm thinking about. Oh, so much of the time now that soon and very soon I'll leave my troubles far behind. And lately I've got leaving on. I believe we can truly relate to that this morning. Amen. I'm not interested in sticking around for the tribulation. I've got leaving on my mind. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Amen. I want to look at a thought that the Lord placed on my heart a few days ago. And I thought we were just going to look at it for one service. And then I kept looking into it and looking into it. And Lord willing, I've got enough notes for about three services, so we'll maybe just look at this over the next two or three services, if the Lord's willing, or maybe longer than that. But I want to look at this thought of, you can't do that. And sounds a little strange, and you may think of it a different direction than we're actually going to go just by hearing the title. But let's look at Acts chapter 5. And verse 40 to begin with this morning. I want to certainly thank all the brothers that are gathered here this morning to make this service possible. The musicians, the deacons, the singers, the one, Brother Trevor running the streaming, and our ameners and different ones. We certainly appreciate these brothers that have come out this morning to be in service. I know there's many of you that would have probably liked to have been here, and we certainly wish that we could have everybody here, and we're looking and longing for the time when it'll be that way. I know they're saying about possibly Easter Sunday things going back to normal. I pray that it does, because I would hate to have just a handful of us here for Easter, and these brothers can't even wear Easter hats to the service, so it would just, you know, we know that's not what Easter's about, but we'll just be praying, and as the Lord leads and makes available, I pray that they find a cure tomorrow that it just puts a stop to all the panic and all the worry, and I know that regardless of when they find a cure, that I'm trusting in Jesus and resting in Him and in His promises. So certainly appreciate those that are listening in as well. I know many of the local church that couldn't be here are listening in this morning. We love you, and we wish we could see you, and even those facing surgeries and things like that. As far as I know, I'm going to call and check tomorrow, but as far as I'm aware, I can't even go into the hospital and pray for those. So it's a difficult time. It's different times than we're used to, but yet we know that even physically being there, though sometimes it's a comfort to have the pastor or a deacon or a family member or whoever it would be to come and pray for you in times like that, yet we know that prayer is not something that's withheld to just a room, that if you can't be in the same room as somebody, prayers still reach. They reach across time and space, and I know many people that maybe their loved ones have gone on, and their prayers prayers that maybe their mother or father that was a believer, their prayers maybe went up years and years ago for them, and maybe they've passed on and won't even see those prayers fulfilled, but yet those prayers are still working anyhow. And many of those loved ones will come in that people had prayed for that maybe have even passed on. You remember, I believe it was when Peter was there praying and Cornelius had seen a vision of what to do, and God told him there, said, your prayers and your alms have come up before the Lord. Well, he might have been praying and paying alms for years and years and years, but it came a time where his prayers caught up with the perfect will of God for that time. And so we believe that God works in that way, that he's not limited to time or space or things like that. So God will get us through whatever it winds up being. God will get us through all of it. So Acts chapter 5 and verse 40, let's look at this scripture this morning. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They said, hey, you can't do that around here. You can't be preaching about this Jesus. You're not allowed to do that. Well, we're going to beat you. We're not just going to put you in jail. We're going to beat you and put you in jail for a little while. We're going to tell you, don't be going out there and doing that anymore. Haven't you learned your lesson? We've punished you physically. You've spent some time in jail. And listen, you can't do that around here anymore. No more of this preaching in the name of Jesus. You're causing an uproar. You're causing a stir. You're turning the world upside down. And they departed from the presence of the council. And they went about moping and complaining because they had got beaten and put in jail for something good. The scripture doesn't read like that, does it? It says, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple, oh my, they didn't just hide out in somebody's basement, but daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So the devil comes along and says, hey, you can't do that. But whatever it is that he's trying to tell you, you can't do. If God's telling you to do it, amen, you better do it anyhow. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, for us brothers that are here, Lord, what a privilege it is to assemble ourselves together. And Lord, for those that couldn't be here, Lord, I know they would long to be, but I pray that you'd bless them. And may this same Holy Spirit that we feel here this morning, Lord, and how we felt you as Brother Furman began to sing about how that, Lord, even in the times of troubles and when our bodies are sick or whatever it be, Lord, that yet you can still come walking on the troubled seas to us and calm our storms. And Lord, we begin to feel you come, Lord, your presence closer to us. And we thank you that we feel you here in our midst this morning. Lord, you promised wherever two or three were gathered, you'd be in their midst. Lord, maybe there's many houses, Lord, with a husband and a wife and maybe a few children sitting there, but yet, Lord, they're looking and with expectations to the service just like we are, Lord. And there's so many that need encouragement during this time. And Lord, so many discouraged when we look at the situation going on, Lord, for so much fear of health and the economy and different things. Lord, we need encouragement. And Lord, in myself as a mortal, Lord, I don't have the ability to encourage them, but I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and anoint this morning in a special way to bring encouragement and strength, Lord, not because I'm here or because these brothers are here, but because you're here and we're here to lift you up and to present your word before the people. Not my word, but Lord, by the reading of the quotes and the scriptures and the anointing that you would come and anoint me to discuss, Lord, different portions of those. I pray that it would encourage those that will hear. Lord, may we just, Father, as we go through this week, Lord, and the devil tries to come and whisper in our ear and tell us things of defeat and negativity, Lord, may we recognize that we're depending on you, Lord. Whatever comes or whatever goes, we're trusting in you. Lord, we won't be bullied by the devil, but we're going to have confidence in your word, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you richly. You can be seated this morning. The disciples, they were going about trying to tell people about a saving Jesus, that they had recognized him to be more than just a man. He was more than just a good teacher. He was more than just a preacher or even a prophet or a king, but yet he was something different about this man that they recognized. Even though he could be tempted like other men, yet they couldn't find any fault with him. Even when Judas tried to find fault, and many times maybe it looked like there was going to be something that he could attack Jesus' ministry with, when he stood there and they had come back after getting some food. Jesus had been fasting, and they came back, and there they found Jesus talking to a woman beside a well, and they began to listen as the conversation went on. He said, "Go get your husband." And she said, "I have none." And no doubt Judas was very excited to hear this, because he had been looking. There was something in Judas's spirit, something in his nature, that he was looking to find a mistake or to find a flaw, and he was hanging around just long enough to see if he could find something to discredit or something to complain about. And he said, "Oh my, I got him this time." But then Jesus began to speak a little further as he was perceiving her spirit, and he said, "You spoke the truth. You've had five, and the one that you're living with now isn't your husband." Oh, I like how Brother Tim Pruitt said it one time when he preached here back at the storefront years and years ago. It's always stuck with me. He said she had been with six men, but now she met the seventh man. Yeah. Amen. I'm glad God sent us a seventh man in this age to restore our hearts back to the truth. And now they begin to go along, and now his friend Lazarus begins to get sick, and Jesus gets away for a little while, and he tells the disciples, he said, "Don't worry, this sickness isn't unto death." And then a few days later, here comes a messenger running and says, "Oh, Master, your friend has died." And the disciples were very discouraged, and Judas said, "Oh, I got him this time, because he said the sickness wasn't unto death. But here, look what take place." But yet he didn't know what death really was. Because the elect does not die. A real believer can't die. Remember it said those that aren't dead, but they're sleeping. Right. Amen. We won't hinder those. We that are alive and remain, because a shout will wake them up and bring them out of the grave. So we recognize that a believer doesn't die. He was just sleeping a few days there, and God walks down in a human veil and calls forth for Lazarus, and here he comes forth. So even those that were trying to find fault, they recognized, the disciples did, that there was something different about this man. He was not just your average teacher or preacher, and there was something about him to where even when they tried to crucify him, the grave couldn't hold him, the earth couldn't hold him, but he came forth victorious, and they were witnesses of this. And he tells them, "Look, you need to go to Jerusalem, and you're going to be endued with power from on high, and then you're going to go be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea." And here they are hiding out in an upper room one day, and all of a sudden here comes a mighty rushing wind, and it begins to quicken them, and tongues of fire begin to sit upon them, and they burst through the doors, and they were so excited to tell everybody about what they had experienced and what God had done in their age. And yet there were people that were looking and saying, "Hey, you can't do that. You got to stop that. We don't believe that around here. We don't want to hear that." Oh, my, it reminds me of the story Brother Branham tells about the little squirrel. Remember when he was out in nature and he said all people could have seen him, they would have thought he was an insane person out of an asylum somewhere, because he began to worship God in his nature, and he could hear him in the elk call, and he could hear him in all these different things. And he said he began to run around and around and around the tree, and he said all of a sudden he began to hear a chatter, chatter, chatter. When you begin to get a blessing from the Lord, and when God begins to do something for you as an individual, or for your family, or for your church, or for your community, or whatever it is, you better watch, because there's going to be a chatter, chatter, chatter that's going to follow that. Oh, there's a voice that follows a sign, but there's a chatter that follows the voice, a chatter of negativity, a chatter of days of miracles are past, a chatter of you can't do that. And he said he began to wonder, "God, why would you draw my attention? I'm here worshiping you. Why would you distract me from this to look at this little bitty squirrel?" And he said, "I began to wonder, what is all this chatter about? What's all this talk on Facebook about a prophet and things like that? People trying to criticize him." You know, there's some people that will begin to look at that, and they'll begin to realize the spirit of negativity is so strong, they'll wonder, "What is all this chatter about?" And so I'm glad he didn't just get stuck on the little chattering squirrel, but he began to look a little farther to see, what is the chatter all about? And as he began to look around, he sees a great eagle that had been he'd been forced down in the storm. Oh my, sometimes eagles get forced down in storms. Oh, the storms may bring us down, but they may bring us low for a little while, but they can't keep an eagle down. Amen. Oh my, don't tell me that the bride can't be discouraged. She can be discouraged, but she can't be deceived. Amen. Amen. Because her mate will come and encourage her even in the time of discouragement, even in the time of storms, even in the time of pressure, when we've been forced down from soaring in the heavenlies maybe for a little bit, yet there's something about it as we sit there maybe on a limb or whatever it would be. Sometimes we get off on a limb, but don't stay off on the limb. Get back in the real thing. Amen. And this eagle had been forced down, and he began to feel the strength of his wings, and he began to recognize, hey, I may have been forced down, but I don't have to stay down. And he began to realize that even though there was a hunter down there with a gun, Brother Bram said he could have got that gun around in a few moments, but he recognized in the strength of his wings that it wasn't the strength of the force of him to be able to flap his wings. Oh, there's a lot of them that they can get out there and flap away. Oh, we believe this and we believe that, and you can't do that over there at your church, and we don't believe in this anymore, and those days are past, and they can flap and flap away and got about enough wind to blow a few feathers or blow a few pillows around or something like that. But this eagle recognized that the strength wasn't in his actual muscles or in his tendons and things like that to be able to move his wings. The strength was not in himself. The strength was in his ability to set those wings and ride on the wind that God had already provided. Oh, sometimes when it looks like we're in the middle of a storm, God is just sending a wind to rise you up above all the things that's going on down below. And so this eagle sat there, and Brother Man began to recognize, oh, it's not this little chattering that you're drawing my attention to. It's this one that can set his wings and rise above all the storms of life that's going on down here. Show us the Father, 1955, and he said, and sometimes it makes a Christian sick and tired to hear some of these little old earthbound pine squirrels, days of miracles has passed. Ain't no such thing as the Holy Ghost. You can't get this. You can't do that. It's all fanaticism. Just set your wings by faith in the Word of God and let the Holy Ghost ride you up, not jump from place to place. Uh-oh. He says, not jump from place to place, this to that. Just set your wings and ride out of sight. Leave this earthbound chatter, chatter, days of miracles is past. The Holy Ghost ain't real. Don't you believe that? God's word said it was he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sail away from it, out of the troubles. Amen. I'm so glad that eagles, you know, there's another bird that's a chicken, and it's an earthbound bird that it can't get up higher than the fence post, and it can flop around from this and that, and it can jump from fence post, and this church to that church, and this doctrine to that doctrine, and you look around one day, and they're all caught up in this, and then the next day, they're all caught up in that, and they've always got something, you know, new to try to show you that nobody else has heard but them, and that's when I begin to get a little worried and say, look, you just keep your new stuff to yourself. I'll go back to that old time religion. Oh, but Brother Nathan, it's just a revelation. Oh, it is, but all revelation is from God. Some revelations are out of the pits of hell. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. So the devil will come along and he'll say, you can't do that. Oh, I'm going to accept my healing. You can't do that. Oh my, what about what the doctor said? You can't. Well, what about what your neighbor will think? If you begin to go and testify that you're healed, what will this one or that one think? You'll bring a reproach. You can't do that. Oh, you can't talk about God at your school. You can't talk about him at your work. People will think you're a fanatic. People will think you're an old religious freak or something like that. You can't do that. Oh, when the devil begins to tell me I can't do something, Brother Jimmy, I begin to feel, well, God must be getting ready to do something, because usually when the devil begins to talk to you, he's getting worried about something. Amen. And when everything's just going smooth and there's no troubles and no pressure and the devil's not trying to drag you down or beat you up, you begin to wonder, Lord, am I doing something wrong? Am I headed in the wrong direction? Because he's been awful quiet lately. But when you get right about in his neighborhood, when you're getting on his last nerve, and Brother Bram said there's something about it. He said Moses got to a spot where even the devil didn't know what to do with him. He said, I'm so glad that a man can live so close to God that the devil don't know what to do with him. Amen. It's something about it that a man, when he gets into the presence of God and he begins to live for God, and then the presence of God begins to come down on his life, then is when the devil begins to chatter, chatter, chatter. Oh, but what about what your family will say? What about your boss? What'll he think if you act that way? What about these ones down at your school? They'll call you a holy roller if you say you got the Holy Ghost or you got saved. Or, oh, chatter, chatter, chatter. That's when we know, oh, I must be on the right track somewhere. Luke chapter 5 verse 18, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. Now Jesus is, he's preaching in a place here, and the building is crowded. You can't even get through the doors. You can't even hardly peek through the windows, but there was something about it. These men had a friend. He'd been sick with the palsy maybe for years and years, and they had had a burden on their heart to do something for this man, and they thought, you know what? We've tried. We've taken him to the best physicians. He's seen the best nurses, and he's taken the best medicines, and he's been on vitamins and all these things, and you know, but when all those things fail, there's a higher source that we can go to. Amen. I believe that God heals through medicine. He heals through doctors, and he heals through all these different things. But when those things fail, then we don't have to just give up and say, well, there's not a vaccine. There's not a cure. There's not a surgery for me. There's not this or that. I guess it's just all hope is gone. No, that's when hope comes walking down the road and begins to knock on your door and says, hey, right in the darkest hour, that's when Jesus comes along. And they begin to be worried and perplexed about their friend. They said, you know what? We hear there's a man down the road here that many signs and wonders and things are taking place. The paralytic are being healed. The epileptic are being delivered. The demon-possessed are being set free. The blind eyes are opening. The lame are walking. And if we could just get our friend with the palsy in his presence, I believe he'd be okay. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, now, they get all the way to Jesus, and there's too many people there. Sorry, only 10 allowed and no more. Couldn't get him to Jesus. Couldn't get him in the presence. The room was full. The house was full. They couldn't get him in. But yet, watch their persistence. Watch their perseverance. Watch their faith. They didn't stop there and say, well, we didn't get a prayer card tonight. I guess we'll just give up. I guess it just wasn't meant to be. I guess we'll just have to try to catch the next revival. I guess we'll just have to get to church earlier next time. They didn't give up there. They said, look, he's right inside there. He's right inside the house. I'm going to get my friend in his presence. Oh my, if you can just get them in his presence, whether it's a family member, whatever it be, don't get them to your theology. Don't get them to your way of thinking or your way of doing it or some super duper doctrine that you major on. Get them to Jesus. Get them in his presence, and he can change their lives. And so here they are with this man, and he's on a bed, and they've packed him along, and now they get there, and maybe they've been coming for miles carrying this guy on his bed, and they get there, and no way, you can't even see through the windows, can't get through the doors. And so one old boy looks around, he says, hey, come over here, boys. There's a ladder around on the back of this house. I've got an idea. Oh, you can't do that. That'd be out of order. You can't do that. What would somebody say? Listen, I've got a ladder back here. I think if you lean him at about a 45 angle and I get up at the top of the ladder and you get down at the bottom of the ladder, oh, it's going to take a little extra effort than it normally does going to church. It's going to take a little effort than it normally does to get into a real prayer time sometimes. But you know what? I'm going to get to Jesus anyhow. I'm going to get to him. Well, I may have to do things a little different. I may have to pray a little harder. I may have to sacrifice a little more, but I'm going to get in the presence of Jesus. And so one gets down on the bottom, and they get this man up on the stretcher, and they lean him up the ladder, and one's pushing and one's pulling. And oh my, that's how we are sometimes. Oh my, we get desperate about our loved ones, and we get desperate about this one. This one goes over and tries to encourage them, and this one texts them a quote, and this one texts them a scripture. And oh my, we're trying to do everything we can, but you know what? All of our efforts are in vain unless we can get them in the presence of Jesus. All the pushing and pulling and sweating and grunting and all that, if they couldn't get him in the presence of Jesus, all their works meant nothing. And now they get him on top of the house, and he thought, well, I thought maybe there'd be a sunlight or something up here that we could open up a window and let him down, but it's just an old normal roof like anything. And yet they didn't get defeated. They didn't get discouraged. Here's another roadblock in their way, another unexpected thing taking place. But they went up on the housetop, and maybe as they was walking, one guy kind of slipped a little bit. He said, "Oh, that's a loose towel right there. Praise the Lord." Said, "What do you mean, praise the Lord? That man's probably been worried about that towel, probably been thinking of his wife's probably had it on a honey-do list for him for 3 months to get up there and fix that towel." He said, "Oh, but I'm glad he didn't, because it gave me an idea." And he begins to pry up that tile, and when he does that, it knocks into another and pries up another. He said, "Come here, boys, lay him there on the roof. That part's flat enough. I don't think he'll slide off the edge. Help me pull up some tiles." And Jesus is just down there in the service of preaching away and laying his hands on the sick and delivering, and all of a sudden, a beam of light just shines right down on his forehead, and he looks up and here's some faces peeking down into the service. Oh, have we got some out there this morning peeking into the service? And he begins to pull back another tile, and somebody said, "Hey, that's my roof. You can't do that." But it didn't stop him. "Hey, we're having service. That's out of order. You can't do that." But they had to get to Jesus, and they let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Oh, they finally get this man in the midst of the service and right at the feet of Jesus. And every effort, everything they had tried, everybody that had stopped them and told them, "Hey, you can't do this. You can't go there. You can't climb up there. You can't take that roof off." Everything was worth it because they got him in Jesus's presence. And when he saw their faith, notice it was their faith that got the man there. Amen. Sometimes people don't have enough faith. Sometimes we've got to have faith for them. Now, eventually they're going to have to have faith for themselves. But there's sometimes when you got that backslid loved one that they're running as hard from God as they can. They don't have a bit more faith than anything. But yet your prayers and your faith and you applying the token goes back after them. I've got a relative that he tells another relative of mine all the time, "I got the Holy Ghost hot on your trail." Amen. Oh my, I know what that's like. I know what that's like, Brother Lee. To be running and not have my own faith and not have my own conviction and not have my own burden to serve him, and the Holy Ghost hot on your trail, and you think, "Lord, would you just leave me alone? Just give me some peace, and you, my, you're pursuing me so hard." But I'm so glad that he did. Amen. I'm so glad that he came after me when I didn't deserve it. Amen. And he saw their faith to come all this way and pack a man. It wasn't easy for him to get to church. It wasn't easy for him to get in the presence of Jesus. It was a difficulty. It was a lot of sacrifice. Brother Branham said when he would go up into Alaska and Canada and places like that and the church in its condition there in 1962, he said some of those places, they'll have to walk for miles pulling a sled behind them with people sitting on it and walk through snowdrifts and different things. He said, "Oh, but when we get there, it's some of the most wonderful meetings because there's so much sacrifice." And he said, "Where there's a sacrifice, there's a blessing. But where there's little sacrifice, there's little blessing." Amen. Sometimes we don't want to sacrifice it. Sometimes we are, well, we would love to help you. We'd love to help you get in the presence of Jesus, but our schedule is too busy. And I don't know what my boss would think if he saw me tearing off somebody's roof. What would the police say? What would this one say? What would that one say? I don't know what somebody would think if they saw me carrying a man around on a bed for miles and miles and miles. They might think I'm crazy. They'd ask me, "You taking him to the hospital?" "No, I'm taking him to church." "Oh, you're crazy. You're a holy roller." Well, you know what? I'm going anyhow. Amen, because my faith isn't in my neighbor. It's not in all these other things, but if I can just get somebody to Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said unto them, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." He didn't say, "You're healed." He didn't say, "Touch the back of the TV to feel those love vibes coming through." He said, "Your sins are forgiven thee." Amen. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies?" In other words, "You can't do that, Jesus. Only God can forgive that. What are you doing? You know, laying hands on people and healing them and things like that, that's one thing. We let that slide, but you can't do this." Oh my, don't tell Jesus what he can and can't do. Amen. If there's anything I've learned, Brother Luke, it's don't tell Jesus what he can and can't do. "Oh, God, you couldn't use that person. You couldn't save that person. You couldn't heal that person. They're too sick. The doctor says they're incurable." Oh, just tell him what he can't do one time and stand back and watch. I've seen him prove doctors wrong. I've seen him prove family members wrong and different ones wrong, friends wrong. Oh, this one will never make it. That one will never make it. Oh, don't you tell God what he can't do. God couldn't use this one. He couldn't use that church. He couldn't use this fellowship. He couldn't use this brother in this other country. God's only working right here at our church. Oh, my. You better be careful when you tell God he can only do something or he can't do something or God don't. I can never speak in tongues or I can never dance or I can never shout or I can never do this or do that. I've seen God come right down and make people do things they thought they never do before. Amen. Don't tell Jesus what he can't do. You can't do that, Jesus. Who can forgive sins but God alone? But, you know, they didn't say this out amongst themselves. They were just thinking this in their hearts and looked at each other like, well, who does this guy think he is? But Jesus, when he perceived their thoughts, he answering them, said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee or to say rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house glorifying God. Oh, you can't do that. You just watch me. Amen. They could have told the man, hey, you can't do, don't get off of that bed. Don't you know what the doctor said about your spine condition? You get off of that bed and you will be paralyzed for life. Don't try that. Don't do that. He said, just watch me. Amen. Don't tell God you can't do that. God will do what he wants to do. God will forgive who he wants to forgive. Oh, God could never deliver somebody like that. Don't you know their marriage situation? Don't you know their past? Don't you know their history? God could never move on somebody like that. Oh, you just tell him one time he can't do it. You can't lock God in a box and contain him by your theological opinions. But God will do what he wants to do and through whom he wants to do it. And many times people will sit on the sidelines and criticize the very ones that God is trying to work through and use. No doubt they were so glad to get this man in the presence of Jesus. They were so glad to see that after all this time and all of the troubles that the man had gone through, all of the time of sickness and things like that, but once they got him in the presence of Jesus, things began to change. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 49. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. In other words, he told the man, hey, you can't do that. You're not one of the 12. Notice he didn't say you can't do that because you're not with Jesus. He said, you can't do that because you don't follow us. You're not part of our clique. You're not part of the 12. You're not part of our little denominational organizational group. You can't do that. You can't do that. Who do you think you are casting out devils in Jesus' name? We've got the copyright on. We've got the franchise. We've got the only way to do that, to be able to cast out devils in Jesus' name. You can't do that. That's just reserved for the disciples alone. That's just reserved for the messenger alone. You can't do that. Oh, I like the way Brother Branham tells it. Can I let him just tell the story for you for a minute? Joseph meeting his brother in 1956. They found a man who was not in their ecclesiastical realm. He'd heard Jesus pronounce these things, and he was getting the job done. Oh, God, give us somebody that'll get the job done. I don't care what church they come from. I don't care what doctrine they've rallied around. I don't care what their address or their nationality or their country is or whatever it be. God, just send people that'll get the job done. He was casting out devils, and Peter and John come to tell him he had to belong to their group or he couldn't do this. You'll have to follow us and make up with us. We're the church, and you got to do it. He let them know to tend to their own business. Well, hallelujah. Thank God for a real man of God. Amen. He wasn't rude to him. He didn't pick a fight with them. They was the one that came to him. He just told them, hey, you just mind your own business. You go ahead and do what you're going to do and what you feel led to do. We'll take care of what we're doing over here. He said he let them know, tend to their own business. He was getting along pretty well without joining their organization. So like little sissy petties, as we have today, little juvenile children's ideas, run back and said, we found him. And he was casting out devils. And what was it? They were jealous. Oh, am I going to run and tell Jesus on somebody? Somebody said, oh, Brother Nathan, you better stop doing that. You can't do that. I'm gonna pray and ask God to do this. I'm gonna take you before the throne. Oh, I hope you do. Please take me before the throne. Oh, my, when I was a little boy, if there was ever a disagreement and one of my friends, they wanted to take me before somebody, oh, please take me before my daddy. Amen, because he may get on me afterwards if I was wrong, but in front of them, I knew who he was going to take up for, Brother Stephen. Oh, take me to my daddy. That's fine. You got a problem? You didn't like the way I did that? Take me to my daddy. Amen, if I'm wrong, he'll straighten it out later, but if I'm right, you know what? He's going to stand right there with me no matter who it is or what it is. So I wish more people, instead of taking me to before this and taking me before social media and taking me before this group and that group and getting on the phone and texting one another and running people down, take us before Jesus. Amen. Go right ahead. If you're jealous, if you're upset, if you think we're crazy, if you think we handled something wrong, if you think that we don't have an authority to do something that we're trying to do, please take me before Jesus. Take me before my Father and see what he says about it. Maybe while you're there, he'll let you know I'm not as crazy as you think I am. They were jealous because he was doing what they couldn't do. They had got carnal. Their eyes of their understanding was like Joseph's brethren had not been yet enlightened. So they come back and tattled on him and told Jesus, oh, I hope more people will tattle on me to Jesus. Oh, my. And Jesus said, let him alone. Amen. He's doing a good work. He's doing what I commanded you to do, and you failed to do it. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. God, may I never stand in that position that I go and take somebody before the throne of God and say, God, I don't understand. Why would you allow this person to do this? Why would you commission them to do that? Why, Lord, I don't agree with that person. I don't like the way they do it. I don't even agree with the way they handle things. And God speak back and say, hey, I would have rather you done it. I think, you know, I'll be honest, maybe you could have done a better job, but you was too lazy or you was too caught up in something else and you wasn't doing what I commanded you to do. So I sent him to do it. God help us. He's doing what I commanded you to do, and you failed to do it. Again, a greater than Solomon is here, 1957. And just like men of our day, they said, you come and join our denomination. You hook up with us, because you can't do this unless you go with us. But they were just a little bit too late. God was already proven he was doing it. Oh, Brother Nathan, Why don't you just shut down and follow this brother or that brother? Why don't you just stop your preaching and get behind this brother? Why don't you just move to this state and sit under this other minister? We don't think you should do what you're doing. You're just a little too late. You got here just a little too late. Amen. God's already proven what he's doing. Amen. God's healing and working and vindicating and saving the lost and healing the sick and filling the Holy Ghost. Well, we don't think you should have did this and we didn't like the way you did it. Hey, that's okay. I haven't made anybody come to this church. Amen. Nobody has to come. But if you're wanting to stop me, whether it's three of us or two of us or whether I got to stream by myself at home and have Brother Trevor show me how to click a button and stand in front of a wall, you got here too late to tell me. I've seen what God's doing. Amen, I've seen how God's working, not just because Nathan Bryan is here, but I've seen God work through these other men of God. I've seen him work. If somebody said, oh, my, playing tapes in church, you guys still believe all that stuff? You must be a lazy preacher. Hey, I spend sometimes more time trying to decide what tape to play than I do studying what sermon to preach. Sometimes I'll listen to 8 or 9 or 10 tapes and say, Lord, is this what you'd have for us or whatever it be? So you know what? There's something about it. No matter what you do, somebody's going to make fun of you. Somebody's going to make fun. Oh, they still play tapes over at Church of the Open Door. And then there'll be others that'll say, well, they play them, but they don't play them enough. We believe you got to play them X amount of services per month, or you're not really ordained of God. You're not really bride. You're not really this. Well, you got here just a little bit too late to tell me. Amen. Oh, Brother Nathan, you should have stopped having services earlier than you did. Weren't you afraid of the coronavirus? Or, oh, Brother Nathan, are you afraid of the governor? Why did you stop having regular services? We still should be having them. Well, you know what? You got here a little too late to tell me because I've just been doing what he's told me to do. Amen. Because I didn't call and ask my daddy or my mommy or a nurse or a doctor or the governor or anybody else when I should and when I shouldn't. I didn't counsel with flesh and blood, but I got alone with him and I asked him, what should I do and what shouldn't I do? And as long as he keeps telling me, I'm going to keep doing it, whether somebody gets upset about it or not. Because, hey, somebody's going to get upset and say, You can't do that. You can't do that, Brother Nathan. We don't like that. That makes us uncomfortable. You shouldn't do that. Well, I'm glad I didn't ask you. Amen. I asked my father, and I'm not talking about Jerry Bryant. I appreciate his advice and his counsel, but when it comes to certain things, I go to my heavenly father. I love Brother Lee and Brother Jimmy and every one of these brothers. I love these deacon brothers and minister brothers, but when it comes to my soul and my family and my church, I'm going to take it to Jesus and see what he would have me do about it. And when somebody comes along and says, you can't do that, Brother Nathan, I'm going to say, well, God, I love you anyhow. God bless you, but you know what? As long as he's telling me to do it, I'm going to keep on doing it anyhow. Amen. I hope that's not just for the pastor this morning. Amen. I hope that's for you in your home and your family and you as individuals. When somebody comes and says, we didn't like the way you did that. We wish you would have did it this way. Why wasn't you out there at church when we were still having it? Well, maybe their family situation was different. Maybe their health history was different. Maybe they had to work that day, whatever it would be. But when somebody comes and tells you, you didn't do it the way we thought you should, you just tell them, hey. Now, if you actually consulted God and got a leading from him, if you just went off of your culture or your nationality or your personality or your own opinion, well, that's a different story. But if you're asking him to lead you, then you just keep doing that. Keep letting him lead you. Amen. Sirs, we would see Jesus, 1957. Well, the disciples said, we forbid you. In other words, we'll boycott you. We'll do all this if you don't do it. He goes on a little further in the same quote. He says, you see what it was? Little petty jealousy of those disciples. It was in men then. It's still in men today. That's right. Oh my. Because the man was getting the job done. And many times we find people who are getting the job done and don't belong to our ranks. Then we want to fly up about it. Well, they didn't do it the way that I would have done it. If I was king of this, or if I was the pastor of this church, or if I was putting these books and tapes out, or I was doing this, or I was helping somebody in the mission fields, I would have did it this way. If I was, you know, one of these brothers at BYC or down at Evening Light Tabernacle or Young Foundations or whatever it was, if I was going to run a camp, this is the way I was running it. Well, when God calls you to run a camp or a youth banquet or a church or whatever it is, then you let God lead you however to do it. But don't call the shots from the couch like a lot of, you know, football fans and things, and they want to tell the players how to do and get mad because they didn't do it their way. Well, you're not the one that's had the training and the exercise and the wearing the jersey and packing the ball and taking the hits. You're just sitting there with the remote control saying, well, I would have did it this way. Brother Lee, why didn't he run that way? Didn't he see that guy coming? Oh my, if they don't belong to our ranks, we want to fly up about it. Well, Brother so-and-so in our group, he does something sort of like that, and he does a much better job. Well, praise the Lord. Maybe he's reaching somebody they couldn't reach. Maybe they're reaching somebody he couldn't. Amen. Oh, you say, my, I know a lot of people like that. Oh, yes, Brother Bram's right. It's still in men. I know people like that. I know people that, my, they get jealous when God begins to do something for somebody. They begin to get jealous, and they just can't hardly handle it. Oh, I'm so thankful that that's not a church of the open. I know some other churches that are like that, but I'm so thankful we go to a church that's not like that. Well, the prophet says you're a liar. But it's just that same element. And if it was in the church of the 12, if it was the church in the church of 12 that walked with Jesus, it's bound to be in this one and all the rest of them. Well, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that God doesn't just exclude and you know, just doesn't let there be a church out there that they don't have to face the same things that we do and they're just perfect and they don't go through any of that? Hey, God will let jealousy come in and he'll let the devil come in and try to destroy a church, but yet there'll be a group there that will raise up a standard against that thing and they won't pick sides and they won't take petty jealousy. But hey, I've seen the devil come in and try to destroy churches. Oh, why? Because the deacons didn't like the way the trustees did it, and the trustees didn't like the way the deacons did it, and the song leader didn't like the way that the other song leader did it, and the musicians didn't like the way this musician did it, and this one got more pulpit time than me, and that one got more piano time than me, and that one got more drum time than me, and that one got more this time, and that one, the backup Sunday school teacher gets jealous of the Sunday school teacher, and these ministers get jealous of the pastor, and the pastor gets jealous of the evangelist that comes in and preaches like a fireball, and he can't preach like that, so bless God, he's not going to have that evangelist back anymore. Shame on you. If it's going to be a blessing to somebody, hey, if somebody can preach circles, and I mean literally circles around me, if they're going to be a blessing to my church, then I won't have them in because I'm afraid somebody will say, oh, poor Brother Nathan, he can't preach like them. Shame on me. Shame on you if you're jealous of somebody else's gift because they got to do something you didn't do, or because they go to a different church than you, or they belong to a different group than you do. And you say, God, why would you bless them like that? Lord, why don't you bless me like that? Well, maybe if you'd get that old jealous spirit off of you, he could bless you. You can't do that. Oh, my. Acts chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except. Now you can just fill in the blanks here, because there's been brothers not just from Judea, and not that we're just Jews, but there's brothers in denominations and around the message in different places that'll come, and they'll tell you, except you do X, Y, and Z, you cannot be saved. But in this case they said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. What are they trying to do? They're trying to keep the Gentiles out because of prejudice and because of religious piety and self-righteousness. They said, look, if you're going to come, you got to come our way. Except you do it this way, you cannot be saved. And when therefore Paul had and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain of them should go up to Jerusalem and under the apostles and elders about this question. This was the Jerusalem council, because all these men stopped what they were doing, all the different places they were evangelizing and taking the gospel, and they come together to try to work through this question that had been presented, because somebody got it in their mind, you can't do it unless you come our way. You can't be saved unless you do it our way. And Peter begins to get up and speak to him. And he said, look, he said, I was the first one to take it to the Gentiles. And here the baptism of the Holy Ghost came on them. I didn't give them the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He gave them the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What could I do about it? So he tells them in verse 11, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Oh my, you mean there was no stipulation of, well, you had to go to this church, or you had to follow this group, or you had to preach a certain doctrine a certain way, you had to get behind this certain doctrinal move, or you had to see a certain thing in the message a certain way, or you had to shake a certain brother's hand, or you had to be ordained by a certain brother, you had to come through this one from Africa, or that one from India, or this one from the U.S., or that one from Canada, and you had to sit under them, or you had to do, you had to wear a certain color clothes, or wear a certain length sleeve, or do all these things before you could be saved. He said, it's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that saved us. It wasn't circumcision that saved us. It wasn't the color robe I wore. It wasn't the church that I attended. It was the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that saved us. But they came and said, now wait a minute, you can't do that. You Gentiles can't be saved. You didn't come our way. Well, I'm glad I didn't come anybody's way, but I came the way of the Lord's despised few. Amen. The way of the word. Faith that was once delivered to the saints, 1953. He says, oh, he's talking about blind Bartimaeus. And you remember blind Bartimaeus, here he is, and he's been blind all these years. And Brother Branham begins to dramatize it to us and tell us that he had these turtle doves that they used to tumble together. And he'd read a history of it, and he said he felt like it was accurate that Bartimaeus, to make money, the different ones begging on the side of the street and things, they had to do something, just like when you go into India or Africa or different places, Jamaica or down into the islands or wherever it be, there'll be people standing on the side of the road begging for money, and many times they'll have something. There'll be somebody there with an organ grinder and a monkey doing tricks, or a cobra snake that they're blowing a flute to and it's coming out and doing different things, and they've got something to catch the attention of the people that's a little unique and a little different than what everybody else is doing, because they're wanting to get all from the people to give them a handout and help them out, because they don't have a job and they're just begging on the street trying to get enough to food to survive. And so he said, what blind Bartimaeus did, he had these turtle doves that would tumble one over another, and he had those. And one day his wife got sick, and his little girl, and he went down and he sacrificed these two turtle doves, and now he didn't have this special unique thing, but what he did have is, back in those days they would teach lambs to be like a seeing eye dog is to day, to lead the blind around. And he had a lamb that no doubt had been trained by a professional, and it knew when to stop if there was a herd of cattle coming down through the road or whatever it would be. And so he had this lamb, and then one day his wife had got sick, and he sacrificed the turtle doves down. His little daughter gets sick, and he goes down and he's going to sacrifice this lamb. And the priest begins to get concerned and says, hey, you can't do that. Bartimaeus, you can't do that. I'll let you sacrifice the turtle doves, but I got to draw the line here. You can't do that. Oh, he said, blind Bartimaeus, you cannot offer that lamb. Said, I'll give you the money. You buy a lamb up at the cellars and set up at the cages. They'll give you a lamb. I'll give you some money and you buy a lamb. Doesn't that sound nice? Doesn't it say, I mean, if it had been me standing there, I might have done the same thing. Look, brother, you can't do that. That's how you get around. That's how you make your livelihood and things like that. Let me help you out. But Bartimaeus didn't promise that lamb. He didn't promise some lamb in the cage there. He said, I never promised God a lamb. I promised him this lamb. That's right, this lamb. He said, blind Bartimaeus, you can't do that. Oh, but I promised God I'd go down to church tonight. Oh, you can't do that. You can't go down there with them holy rollers. Oh, I promised I'd go down to the revival and I'd have my little girl be prayed for. Oh, don't you know who they're having preached down there this weekend? You can't do that. Don't you know what people would say? Don't you know what your family would do? Oh, you can't. But I told God I'd do this. Blind Bartimaeus, you can't do that. He said, but high priest, I promised God I would. He said, but blind Bartimaeus, that lamb is your eyes. Said, very well, high priest, but God will provide a lamb for blind Bartimaeus' eyes if blind Bartimaeus will obey God. Oh, he's still got a lamb for us this morning. Doesn't matter what anybody says or does. He's still got a lamb that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Amen. If I'll just obey God, God will provide blind Bartimaeus a lamb for his eyes. Now, he's faced all of this opposition, and it seemed like everywhere he turned, something went wrong. Here he was trying to survive with his finances and supporting his family and not being able to go out and have a regular job. And so he goes and he sacrifices the turtle doves. Now his daughter gets sick and he goes and sacrifices the lamb. And now he's feeling his way along the wall of Jericho there. And he begins to slide down against the wall there and set him up a little place. And he reaches back and feels the wall there, the only wall left standing. When all of Jericho began to fall down, he begins to think back about Rahab and how that the captain of the host began to walk down the road there and begin to talk to Joshua. And he puts his back up against the wall and he begins to hear a commotion coming down the street. And he can't see what's going on, but here comes blind Bartimaeus' lamb walking down the road to blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus couldn't see. Oh, there was something about it. We were blind one time, and we couldn't see our way to find the truth. We couldn't find our way. We couldn't educate our way into it. We couldn't study our way into it. We couldn't see through the darkness of Laodicea and man-made theology and creeds and dogmas and false doctrine to be able to see the light. But here, one day, that lamb came walking down the road and found us and all of our blindness and darkness. Oh, my, and there begins to be a commotion. What is it? Oh, it's your lamb coming down the road. It's deliverance coming down the road. It's victory. It's peace. It's mercy. It's hope coming down the road to you. What is it this morning in all of the darkness and all the fear and all the worry that's going on? Still, he's walking right down your road, and he'll knock at your door. Can I come in and sup with you? But many leave him on the outside. Oh, they'd have to sacrifice a little too much, or they'd have to be talked about, or they might have to change the way their lifestyle a little too much. They might have to stop watching certain things that they used to watch and stop listening to certain things they used to listen to, stop wearing the kind of clothes that they used to wear and wearing the hairstyles that they like to wear and all this. Oh, we couldn't do that. We'd have to sacrifice too much. Blind Bartimaeus had already sacrificed everything. He'd laid everything aside, and here comes hope walking down the road. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Uh-oh, somebody's going to be there to say, you can't do that. You can't do that, Bartimaeus. We don't like that around here. We don't like noise around here. We just like it when the Holy Spirit just moves nice and soft and peaceful and quiet. Oh, I like it when he moves like that too. I like it any way that he decides to move. But there's something about it. I'm not going to tell him how to move, and I'm not ashamed when he moves. If he whatever he leads me to do or have me to do, I'm thankful to do whatever it is. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. You can't do that, Bartimaeus. You're disturbing the service. You can't do that. Brother Branham said that woman began to scream in the service there, and that man got up afterwards and said, Brother Branham, I was enjoying your sermon until that lady got to screaming in there and all that. He said, I don't know how you can preach. He said, it runs shivers down my spine to do that. He said, oh my. He said, I can't hardly preach when they're not doing it. He said, if that froze you to death, you'd really freeze to death if you ever got to heaven, because no matter where you go from here, this is the quietest place, Brother Branham said. Even if you're at Church of the Open Door, it's the quietest place that you'll ever be, because over in heaven, there's going to be screaming and shouting and hosannas and praises to the King, and down in hell, there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, you might think sometimes at your home it's loud when your kids get to playing and rowdying around and all that. It's the quietest place you'll ever be. Oh, my. Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. You can't do that, blind Bartimaeus, but he knew. He knew there was something coming down the road, and he began to get desperate about it. The problem is many times we're too busy, or we're too worried about what somebody in the other pew, or somebody that's watching online, or somebody at another church, or in our neighborhood, or in our family, what they're going to think. And they say, hey, you can't do that. You can't act like that, Brother Furman. That's not good church manners and things like that. That's what Brother Branham thought when he got into Mishawaka there. But he said, the longer I sat there, the better I felt. Oh, my. Luke chapter 19, verse 39. About a week from now, we'll be seeing the same thing that was taking place here Palm Sunday. Jesus coming in. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem, people throwing down their cloaks and things for the little donkey that he was riding on to walk into the city, crying Hosanna, breaking off palms and throwing them down before him, for him and the little colt that he was riding on to walk through there, through the gate of Jerusalem. It would be only 5 days later that they would be crying, Crucify him. These same ones that were screaming, Hosanna. See how just a little bit of change in popularity and a little bit of change and, well, we didn't like the way this was done, the way that was done. And it can change the whole situation sometimes to where the very ones singing Hosanna, the very ones saying, Brother Jimmy, you did such a good job. We sure like that. And then you do something they don't like, and they'll be the first one to try to run you out of town on a board. Hosanna. They were worshiping as he came into the city, and 5 days later they'd be screaming, Crucify him. Luke chapter 19, verse 39, and some of the Pharisees from amongst the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. You notice Caiaphas's and none of them high priests and self-righteous Pharisees stood up and told the crowd to be quiet when they was screaming, Crucify him. Oh my, they were egging that on. That's right. Why? Because it was rubbing their doctor the right way. But Hosanna to the King of Kings? What? You can't do that. You can't say that. We don't believe that around here. Wait a minute. You're a good Pharisee. Don't stop that over there. Master. They didn't believe he was their master. But they were just trying to get some attention from him. So he listened to him. They said, Rebuke your disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Can you imagine, Brother Lee, if he had done it? Can you imagine? We talk about if these walls could talk, you know, sometimes. Oh, if these walls could talk, the stories that they tell. Can you imagine if he had told the disciples to hold their peace and a stone began to cry out and tell them about how this same one that was walking in their midst was a pillar of fire, and they saw Moses come walking down that same dusty road, and they saw the children of Israel and Joshua and different ones come walking down that same dusty road, and that same pillar of fire that was following them right then in body form was walking right along with them. They would begin to tell about how the walls of Jericho began to fall at the command of the same one that was standing there with them, how the Red Sea's parted, all the things that these rocks had saw, how that David had been anointed by the same one that was standing there embodied in flesh, and a little bit of anointing had got into that rock in the sling, and it went right into the giant's forehead there. Oh, they could begin to testify until the people was tired of hearing testimonies of all the things that the rocks had saw. Amen. I don't want a rock taking my place, Brother Jimmy. Oh, my. Many times we fail to testify. Well, somebody wouldn't understand. They wouldn't want to hear my testimony anyhow. Well, somebody might want to hear it. Amen. Oh, I've told testimonies to people that you could tell didn't want to hear it. Some people only want to testify about their church and their group and their movement and their favorite person in the message. But when you begin to tell them, hey, God's doing things through other people too. God healed somebody down at this church, and God delivered somebody over here, and God provided for somebody down in Louisiana, and he raised the dead over here, and he healed the sick over there, and healed the blind over here. And oh, no, we that's not our group. We don't want to hear about that. Oh, my. Rebuke your disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you, that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. You can't do that, Jesus. You can't let them say that about you. We got a noise ordinance here in the city. They can't cry out like that. Oh, when somebody has a burning testimony on their heart, they're like a house of fire on a windy day. You can't stop them. Amen. The problem is, many of us, if we're not careful, we feel like we split up into teams, you know, and we got this church team and that church team and this group and that group, and we're following this one and we're following that one. We're behind this one. We're behind that one. And if somebody on your team does something, oh my, you're ready to tell the world about it. You're ready to post it on Facebook, and you're ready to put it on your websites, and you're ready to text everybody and call somebody. But if somebody on the other team, God blessed them and healed them and did all this, well, we don't want to tell anybody about that. We're not even sure. You know, they may have kind of blown that up a little bit. That it may not have really happened that way. You know what? I'm on the winning team, and it's not Church of the Open Door. It's not the Nathan Bryant team. Amen. I'm on. You remember I told you years ago there was a lot of things going on around the message and around the world and message politics and even here locally different things. And I got up at the storefront and I said, look, there's so much going on. I've decided I've got to take sides. And I remember Brother Furman, I could almost hear his toes clenching up in his shoes. He didn't know what I was going to say or whose side I was going to take. And I said, I'm taking sides with Jesus. And I played Taking Sides with Jesus in 1962. That's how I still feel this morning. Amen. I want to take sides with him. And so if he uses some brother that maybe I bitterly disagree with, and he uses that brother to be a blessing to somebody, and a testimony comes forth through that ministry or that testimony or whatever it would be, and God heals somebody or delivers somebody or does something, I want to be able to praise the Lord. Hey, I thank God for what he's doing, whether it's at our church or at some other church. If God's doing something, we ought to be happy about it. And not worried about the title or the header or the name on the church door or the website that goes along with it. I'm happy to see what God's doing. If God does something, if God blesses, I'm so thankful. And we went down to Asbury recently and did a little research on the revival down there. I'm thankful for what God did for the Methodist Church in 1970. Amen. I believe God really did something for those young people there. There's still people that are serving God today that was in that revival. Now, they may not be serving him in all the light that we're doing, but to me, I just say shame on us. If God can do something that extraordinary for a Methodist church, what should he ought to be able to do for the bride of Jesus Christ around the world in this message? Amen. Amen. We get worried about teams. I'm only interested about one team. Amen. Help us take sides with Jesus this morning. Paul said it this way, but this I confess unto thee, Acts 24, verse 14, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Oh, you don't believe all of that, do you, Paul? Now, some of that might have just been David's opinion. That may have just been something that, you know, Moses had some ideas, and Moses was a man, and you know, culturally there were some things back there that we don't deal with today, and maybe those things were just Moses' opinion. He said, in the way that's called heresy, that's the way I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and in the prophets. Remember, Jesus rebuked him and said, oh, fools and slow of hearts to believe all. A-double-L, the prophets have spoken. Now, I will say this. Sometimes people take their favorite snippet out of the prophet's message, and they'll just beat that to death to where that's all they can see is one or two sentences. Hey, there's more than that. And if you just look at that, many times you begin to get your own angle or your own slant or whatever it would be. And when what you're trying to promote through a quote or a scripture or whatever it would be, and it completely contradicts something else that's in the message, then somewhere along the line, you put your own idea into it is what happened. And I'm not interested in that. That's not believing all that the prophet said. Well, I'm quoting the prophet, praise God, hallelujah. So were the Pharisees. So was the devil. He was quoting Moses right to Jesus' face. It is written, but he was putting his own slant on it. The Pharisees were coming right down and said, hey, we have Moses to our father. We believe the law. We believe this. We believe you got to be circumcised. They were quoting Moses, but they were putting their own slant on it. So I want to believe all that was said, not just somebody's slant on it, but I want to take all that was said. So if you're taking a quote and making it say something that contradicts somewhere else, it's not the quote that's wrong. It's you that's wrong. Well, praise the Lord. Sometimes there's things that it looks like it contradicts. I was just reading Acts chapter 2 and yesterday, and I had a discussion with the brother a while back, and he said they didn't speak in tongues on the day of Pentecost. Brother Branham said they didn't speak in tongues. They just spoke, and every man understood in their own language. They weren't speaking in unknown tongues on the day of Pentecost. And so I went and showed him a quote where Brother Branham said that they were speaking in unknown tongues on the day of Pentecost. And so he went and got his and showed me. He said, well, right here he says they weren't speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost. So which was right and which was wrong? You go back Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, they were speaking in unknown tongues in the upper room. And then they came down and went outside, and every man heard in their own language. So both was taking place in two different locations, and both quotes were right. But we could have sat there and argued with each other all day long about, well, what are you going to say? Brother Branham was right in 57, he was wrong in 58, or whatever it be. No, you got to take a look back sometimes. Zoom back out a little bit. Stop zooming so close on your favorite sentence and zoom out and look at the whole word and find it doesn't contradict itself. It's you that's contradicting yourself, or me that's contradicting myself. Many times we got to look at the whole thing. Paul says this, I confess, after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. He was not ashamed to worship. Didn't matter what the Pharisees or the Sadducees or anybody came and said, you can't do that, Paul. You're turning the world upside down. You're doing this, you're doing that. He said, look, all these things they've accused me, I haven't tried to cause a disturbance. I haven't tried to do this. I haven't, all these things that they say, it's causing sedition, all these things, I haven't done that. But this one thing I have done, I worship after the way that's called heresy, the God of my fathers. And I'm not ashamed, Agrippa or whoever you are, I'm not ashamed to do it in front of you or anybody else. Amen. Thank God for a real worshiper. I'm trying to close. Let me get through one little more section here, and we'll close. You don't get to go out and fellowship in the parking lot this morning, so we'll just take up a little bit of that time, all right? 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16. We can't even worship in the park, or we can't even go out and fellowship in the parking lot here after service because they just seal coated it. So we'd take blacktop home and track it on our rugs, and our wives would beat us over the head with a broom. Oh, not my wife, brother. Oh, yeah, you go home and try it. Tell me how that turns out for you. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Now, she was a worshiper of Jehovah. She was raised under the ministry of Samuel. Her daddy was the king of Israel. Here she was, a believer, but yet she looks out the window and she didn't like to worship the way that David liked to worship. Maybe she just liked to pray in her prayer closet, and she didn't like any public display of emotion or anything like that. Her worship style was different than David's. You know what? That was okay. Everybody didn't have to be a David. But her problem was when she began to despise his style of worship. And the Bible says that God shut up her womb so that she didn't have any children. You say, oh, but Brother Nathan, you go over and read in Chronicles there, and you find out that when David had to go, and because of the people there that Saul had killed, and they said, you got to bring us so many of Saul's descendants, that was actually Michal's children. So explain that one to me. Well, go back and read who the man was that it said she reared up those children for, and go back and read the man that she was married to after Saul gave her to another man after David, and you'll find that those names don't match up. But if you go and read the one that her sister married, those names do match up. So she was raising her sister and her brother-in-law's children. I don't know if her sister died or whatever. The scripture doesn't say that, but it wasn't her children, because the Bible said that the Lord shut up her womb and she didn't have any children. So sometimes you got to read the details a little bit before you go and criticize the Bible and say there was a mistake somewhere. You know where the mistake was? Right here. Amen. She despised him in her heart. She despised his worship. She said, David, you can't do that. You can't worship like that. You can't be out here dancing and jumping and running. What are people going to say about you? They're going to say you're a holy roller. We don't like that. That type of worship makes our church nervous. And David said in verse 21 unto Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in my own sight. In other words, he's saying, you think that's something? Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet to how I worship. And maybe, you know what, in my own flesh, I may even be a little embarrassed to think, Lord, why am I doing this? But I don't care if I'm base in my own sight. When I'm worshiping him, he deserves to be worshiped anyway he wants me to worship. So I'll dance around, and I'll praise him, and I'll shout, and I'll jump, and I'll do whatever God calls me to do. I'll be based in my own sight. I'm going to worship him. Oh, David, you can't do that. What would the church say? What would the deacon say? What would your family say? What would this? What if somebody saw you on YouTube doing that? What would they do? What would they think? I hope they would think, my, that brother really turns loose and worships God and doesn't care who's looking. But there's a lot of McCalls peeking through the window. Look at that holy roller down there. Look at those people. They worship and they scream and they shout and they run. And I heard somebody got slain in the spirit, and I heard this and I heard that. And oh my, bunch of holy rollers. Don't they know they can't do that? Don't they know we're a message church? Amen. Maybe you should go back and read a little further about some things that your prophet did in message churches. Amen. He said that woman got up there, a woman preacher, he let her sing a special in his church. He said, I believe if it had had three or four decks, she would have been able to play it. And he said, she began to turn loose with, there's going to be a meeting in the air. And he said, one little girl from her church began to get out there and dance. And he said, I was sitting in the seat of the scornful. Uh-oh. We still got a lot of those message believers, don't we? Sitting in the seat. Oh, I don't worship like that. I could never do that. Go ahead and tell God he couldn't worship through you like that. You might find next service, you'll be right out in the middle of the aisle doing it before you know what you're doing. Said, oh, I couldn't do that. Said, oh, Lord, what about that? Is there any scripture? He said, I begin to think about when Miriam and the children of Israel begin to come down, and the daughters of Israel, she began to sing, Moses began to sing in the spirit, and Miriam began to play the tambourine, and the daughters of Israel began to dance in the spirit. And he said, my Methodist foot began to pat. And he said, then I began to think a little bit more about when David began to dance out there around the ark and his wife began to despise him. He said, oh, you think that's something? And here he went around and around again. He said, before I knew it, I was out there dancing with her. Well, praise the Lord. They don't read that quote a lot, but it's in there. Amen. It's still in my message. Amen. Maybe they've erased it and whitewashed it out of their message, but it's still in mine when I go and search it. He said one night he was preaching there. Somebody said, oh, you can't speak in tongues in church anymore. He said, I was preaching one night in the pulpit, and he said, before I knew what I was saying, I said a few words in unknown tongues, and I began to speak back a rock in a weary land and interpreted for himself there in the pulpit. Well, praise the Lord. Said, oh, but Brother Nathan, that was out of order. Out of order, he was the prophet in the pulpit. The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. Said he got to preaching one night and got to feeling so good, he jumped up on the pulpit and had his feet hanging over the front of the pulpit. And he said, then I began to go out walking down the middle of the aisle, rolling up my pants legs. He said, I don't know what I was doing, but it sure felt good. Amen. I don't know what some message churches would do if a prophet of God came in and began to do something like that, but I believe I know what I'd do, Brother Stephen. I'd say, amen, sick 'em, boy. Amen. You get the devil on the run. Praise the Lord. I want to worship after the way that's called heresy, the God of my fathers. Amen. Not just the God of my fathers, my God. Amen. God talked to Moses, 1953. Remember McCall looking out the window there, despising David. And he says, the devil will stand out the window and say, hey, you can't do that. Say you can't. Watch me. Glory. The devil comes sometimes. Praise the Lord. Testing. Are we still there? All right. Devil's trying to. You can't do that, but you know what? We got another mic to do it with anyhow, devil. Boo, devil. The devil will stand many times and say, Brother Luke, you can't do that. You couldn't do that. You can't step out in faith like that, Brother Layton. What would people think? Well, don't go and testify of your healing, Brother Japheth. What would somebody say? They'd call you a fanatic, or you'd bring a reproach. Oh, I can't. Watch me. Just watch me. You can't trust in God for this. You can't trust in God to provide for you, for your finances and your health and all that. You better go out and you better become something on your own. I'm nothing on my own. Amen. But with him, I'm everything. Hey, you can't do that. You can't worship in church like that. I've had some of the musicians come to me. I hope I don't embarrass any of them this morning. I'm not going to call their names or point out who they are, though. But I've had several of the musicians come up to me after a service and say, I hope I didn't get too out of line or that I wasn't playing. I was just feeling the anointing so strong. I was just kind of turning loose. I said, I wish you'd do it more. Amen. I wish you'd do more. Amen. Now, if it becomes a competition and a contest to see who can play the loudest and who can play the fastest and all that, I'm not interested in a contest. But if the Holy Spirit is coming down and anointing, I say turn it loose. Not just to the musicians, not just to the singers or the preachers, but to the whole congregation. Even sitting in your home there, if you're feeling God, and maybe you think, well, my wife might think it'd sound funny if I jumped up and said, praise the Lord, and raised my hands right here in the living room. Praise Him anyhow. That's what we preached on last Wednesday night. Amen. If I'm in my car, wherever I'm at, down at the park or down at hiking or wherever I'm going, I'm going to praise Him if He comes and I feel His presence. He's worthy of it. Oh, if we could just turn loose more. And when the devil comes and says, hey, you can't do that, Brother Jimmy. Oh, my. Well, I know Brother Jimmy was down here praying before service. So I know he's already going to tell the devil, hey, I don't care what you say I can't do. You watch me. You watch me, I'll do it. He says, amen, that's right. See if I don't. Say, now you better not testify your heel before you feel something. Feel something. Brother, I believe something. I believe what God said is the truth, don't you? Oh my, but did you feel it? It doesn't matter. I can, I will. I do believe the devil says, you can't do that. But we say, I can, I will, I do believe. He said, oh, you better not do that. You're going to be a stumbling block. What if your faith isn't strong enough? What if you do? You can't do that, Brother Nathan. What? Somebody's going to say something about you. Somebody's going to criticize you. Somebody's going to run you down on the internet, or somebody's going to send in a nasty letter. I can, I will, I do believe. Oh, but Brother so-and-so, if you did that, somebody'd make fun of you. Somebody, they think you as a holy roller. I can, I will, I do believe. Amen. It's not what I feel. Amen. Sometimes I feel great. Sometimes I feel like running through a troop and leaping over a wall. Sometimes I feel like hiding out in a closet and just crying to myself and saying, Lord, just come and just take control. I don't want any part of it anymore. You just do it, Lord. But there's other times you feel like, you know, my whatever it is, bring me somebody with cancer or bring me somebody with depression or whatever it is. Let me pray for them. I feel like the anointing of God. Sometimes I told my dad the other night, I said, some of these people that don't believe that there's any need for ministry anymore, that God doesn't work like that. I said, I wish they could stand sometimes and feel the anointing the way that some of us brothers do, and feel God come down and use you and work through you and be able to pray for somebody where you could know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're healed, and you feel like you could just take a devil by the throat and strangle it and kick him out the door, and then you walk out here and that anointing leave you and you feel like, well, I couldn't preach my way out of a wet paper bag. Amen. You don't know what it's like, a lot of people don't, to come down out of something like that. The devil will try to beat you up and tell you you'll never make it. But you know what? I can, I will, I do believe. If I feel like running through a troop and leaping over a wall, or if I feel like sitting in the corner and crying, I'm not going off of my feelings this morning. Amen. I'm going off of what He promised. Amen. God bless you. Musicians, if you'd come this morning, don't let the devil tell you you can't do something. When God tells you you can do it, don't you let anybody or anything or any lie of the devil stand in your way. Amen. God bless you. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Jesus, Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you for your mercies to us. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the truth. We thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, when the devil comes and tells us we're defeated or we can't make it or we'll never be able to do something, Lord, may we remind him that we're more than conquerors. Lord, whatever comes or goes, Lord, that we're victorious, not through our own power, not through our might, not through our own will, not by power or might, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord. Lord, we commit it to you this morning, this service, each one, Father. Lord, that's listening out online or wherever it would be, Father, we commit the service to you. Lord, may it be a blessing. May it be an encouragement to somebody to recognize maybe they've been feeling led to do something for God and the devil keeps coming and trying to lie to them, tell them they'll be a failure, tell them they can't make it. He did the same thing to Moses and to Jephthah and to Gideon and different ones, tried to discourage them and defeat them, lie to them, tell them you can't do it, you'll never make it. Oh, but Father, help us to recognize, Lord, our victory is not on our own strength or our own feelings, but it's by depending on you and your word and what you said, Lord. We're depending and trusting on you this morning. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Let's sing that. I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe that Jesus heals me. Now let's stand and sing it. Oh, I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe that Jesus heals me now. Oh, I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will, I do believe. I can, I will. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Oh, hide me over in the rock of ages. Just cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages. Oh, just cleft for me. Let's sing it this way together. Oh, the judgment day is coming. Oh, what an awful day it will be. Oh, Christ forever, He is my just clap for me. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Oh, hide me over in the rock of ages. Just clap for me. Well, at the sounding of the trumpet and at the dawning of the day, all your worldly pleasures with their treasures, they shall forever for me. Oh, poor lost sinners, they will be crying for that home.
cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom?
Let's sing this together this morning. Oh, walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Oh, walk with me, Lord. Oh, walk with me. Oh, and while I'm on this pilgrim journey, your desire this morning, don't leave me alone, Lord. Don't leave me alone. Don't leave me alone, Lord. Don't leave me alone, Lord. And while I'm on this pilgrim journey, just be my friend, Lord. Lord, be my friend. Oh, and while I'm on this pilgrim journey, oh, I need Jesus. Oh, I need you, Lord, to walk with me. Let's sing it again. Walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Oh, walk with me, Lord, walk with me. Oh, and while I'm on this pilgrim journey, I need Jesus to walk with me. Amen. Let's sing this before we go. This morning, oh, I am weak, but thou art strong. Oh, Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Oh, I know I'll be satisfied as long, just as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Is that your desire this morning? We're singing just a closer walk with thee. Oh, grant it, Jesus, that's my plea. Oh, for I'm dead close to thee. Oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be through this world. Oh, through this world of toil and snares. Well, if I falter, Lord, who worship him this morning. Oh, just a closer walk with thee. We pray, grant it, Jesus, is my plea.
Let's sing this verse together. Oh, when my feeble life is old, and time for me will be no more, Lord, just guide me gently, save me, oh, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Oh, and just a closer walk with thee. Is my
to thee, oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be, oh, just. Jesus is my plea. Oh, daily walking close to thee. Oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Amen. We have so much to be thankful for. Thankful for the word of the Lord this morning.
Thank you, Jesus, for all the grace that you have given us. Although I can't repay, from my heart I would like to say, Lord, I thank you. Oh, Lord, I thank you, and we say thanks, oh thanks, Lord, I give you thanks for all you've done. Oh, I am so blessed, my soul has found rest, oh let the church say thanks, oh thanks, Lord, I give you thanks for all you've done.
My soul has found rest, oh Lord, I give you thanks.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to tell you we're thankful. Thankful for your goodness and grace to us. Lord, we acknowledge there's been many trials, there's been many tests, Lord, but you've done all those things for a purpose, Lord, to mold us, to bring patience and character in our lives, Father. But Lord, amongst the trials, amongst the tests, Lord, we're all so very blessed, Lord God. We're blessed, Lord, to have the Word of God for this day revealed to our hearts, our eyes, and our understanding opened, Lord God. Lord, we're blessed to have a church, Lord, a community that we can come together, Lord, even in this time, come together virtually, Lord, and still have a connection to this local body of Jesus Christ that we love so much, Father. Lord, we're grateful to be part of the global body of Christ, Father, but we also are so glad to be a part of a little local body that we can call family, Lord. Father, may you bless this church. Lord, each one's in their homes today, Lord. May you bring a blessing upon them, Lord. Father, may the discussions around the dinner table and in the living rooms, Lord, may they turn to wonderful fellowship on the Word of God. And Lord, may your Spirit be present in every home, Lord God. Lord, inspiring the body of Jesus Christ in their different several places, oh God. Father, we need you in this time, Lord God. We know the day is drawing late, Lord God, and we're looking for your soon coming. Oh, Father, well up such a desire for your return in our hearts. Well up such a desire for you, Lord God, living and dwelling in our hearts each minute and each hour, oh God. Father, now as we close this service, may you be on our minds, be on our hearts, oh God. May you give us this as we finish out this Sunday, Lord. May it be a day of rest, Lord Jesus. But Father, we know what the rest is in our day. It's the Holy Ghost. Father, may it be a day where the Holy Ghost dwells and speaks to our hearts, Lord God, and encourages us. Oh, would you do it for us, Father? We need you, Lord. Father, we love you and praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. I give you thanks for all. So blessed, my soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks.
You're dismissed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, thanks, thanks. I give you thanks.